Annalisa, you did a good job on picking those songs out. We appreciate that. Again, we want to welcome everybody. Glad that you're here. What you might want to do is quickly turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in and out of it a whole lot tonight, much like we did last Sunday night. What we want to talk about really is so simple, and it's a theme that carries throughout the Bible. It's not anything unique to Proverbs, and yet the Proverbs have many passages that deal with that. And that's living God's way, living the way God would have us to live. You know, stop and think about it for just a moment. But one of the most forgotten steps in God's plan for man's salvation is step number 6. We're familiar with the first 5 steps, aren't we? To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But that's how you become a Christian. What's so critically important, though, is how do we remain a Christian? How do we live faithfully in service to God throughout this life? That's step number 6. As Christians, we well understand that need to obey that gospel. Simple plan that God gave us. So simple, folks, that most people, by the time they hit around 11, 12, 13 years, if they have been raised in the church, so to speak, know pretty much what that plan is. But number 6 is just as essential as any one of the other 5 that we've talked about, the hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If we are going to live faithfully in service to Him, we need to know how to do that. We need to know what it means to be in a right relationship with God. And when we think on it, number 6 actually may be the most difficult step in all of the process of becoming a Christian and then living faithfully in service to Him. Why? Because it puts us to the test. In most cases, not all, but certainly most cases, when someone obeys the gospel, they usually have quite a long life still to go. We realize that they have the 11th hour Christian. We understand that in many cases, somebody may obey the gospel and for whatever reason suddenly pass away before their time. But most of us obey the gospel, and then we have quite a life to live. Well, that talks about an endurance. We're an endurance race. That's what we really are in. Remember what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, that the race is not to the swift. In other words, not how fast you get to the finish line. It is how you endure in life and getting to that finish line. In the race of life, it is certain that it is not so much about speed, is it? It's about how we endure over the long haul. This makes living life in service to God absolutely essential. This lesson is going to take kind of a shotgun approach, if you will, not a point-by-point style that we often do. This morning we had 4 points in the lesson. Really, when you stop and think about it, it's going to be one giant point. Turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, first of all. We're going to start with verse 27, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 35. Proverbs 3, 27 through 35. We know most of the Proverbs are determined that it was Solomon who penned these. He begins by saying, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you.' Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for your safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. But his secret counsel, his, meaning God's secret counsel, is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he, God, blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but the shame shall be the legacy of the fool. So we look at this, we begin to realize that Solomon is trying to get a simple point across here. How do we live as God's servant? How do we show ourselves to people around about us? How do we treat others where they will see, as we would say today in the Christian dispensation, Christ living in us, God living within us? And he gives us a pretty good prescription here. But without going in detail on that, notice also Proverbs 24 and verse 17. There, as we go to Proverbs 24 and verse 17, this inspired writer tells us, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him. Literally, the idea of that last part, it is evil in his eyes. You see, there's an age-old concept here that we're reading about here, and that is we should never rejoice in somebody else's failures and problems. We should never rejoice when we see bad things come upon somebody, even though he may be an adversary of ours. Even the Lord does not like to see us rejoice when something bad happens to an enemy. What's the opposite of that? Well, it seems to be a real simple thing. And we learn it in other places, such as Romans chapter 12. Remember there that Paul talks about this very concept of not repaying evil for evil, but rather do good. And in so doing, what do? We heap coals of fire upon the head of our enemies. They see us doing good to them even though they don't deserve it. Proverbs chapter 6, we get some more good information here, living God's way. How is that? Go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. What does that tell us? Well, Solomon here is simply trying to get a simple message to us. Take note of those who are industrious. Take note of those who strive towards success and actually begin to imitate those. Consider her ways and be wise. Not just simply saying here, hey, look at the ant, look at it, and then walk away from it. Rather, he tells the sluggard, the lazy, go to the ant and pay attention to how busy and industrious the ant is and do the same thing. That's part of living God's way. That's part of living as God would have us to live. Not to be a burden on society. Not to be somebody who takes and takes and takes, but people who literally give back. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Listen to this. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether he does or whether what he does is pure and right. What does that tell us? In our Christian life, as we strive, pay attention to children. Look at them. See how they react. You know, some of the purest things, some of the I guess in a way, the simplicity of life can be seen in children. God wants us to look at life like that. Jesus himself, remember what he did? He actually brought a child into his midst of all of the disciples. And he says, unless we become as little children, we can in no way enter into the kingdom. Stop and think about what he's trying to tell us. Jesus is saying essentially the same thing that Solomon said years ago. Pay attention to the child. Look at the purity of children. Look at the honesty of children. And imitate those things. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is right and pure. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3, where we started a while ago. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. First of all, Solomon starts out by simply saying this, trust in the Lord. And he doesn't say so half-heartedly or a little bit or when it feels right to you or when everything is going in your way and your favor, but he says trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Does it remind you what the Lord said? That we are to love the Lord our God? How? With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with everything within us. And here we're told to trust God with all of our heart. What else? Don't lean upon your own understanding. Folks, if we're going to live as God wants us to live, we're going to have to learn how to trust God and learn how to lean upon the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And notice, and in all your ways, acknowledge God. Give Him the credit. Why? Because credit is due to God. I look at myself in the mirror and I have all sorts of flaws as a human being. I can look to God and God's Word and it is perfect. It's flawless. And I should acknowledge that He is my direction. He will direct my path. He knows what's right for me. He knows what's right for humanity. We have other passages that emphasize that. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end of the way is what? Death. See, when we begin to lean upon our own understanding, when we begin to think that my way is the right way, and we begin to exclude God, the writer here says the end of that kind of life is death. What kind of death? Spiritual death. Eternal condemnation. Jeremiah chapter 10, 23 through 24. This is the one I think we probably know as well as anyone. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Folks, we need to learn how to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Understand that His understanding, His knowledge, His wisdom is so far superior to ours. Just talk about Jeremiah chapter 10, 23 through 24. Let me emphasize something else. How about going over in your Bibles very quickly to Jeremiah chapter 17? Two short verses, and I'll tell you here, two short verses, and you could make a sermon that would last for 45 minutes to an hour of those two if you wanted to. Don't panic. Not going to do that right now. But the truth of the matter is, this is loaded with great information. Listen to this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. You see, when we put our faith and trust in God, our hope resides in Him. When we put our faith and trust in God's Word and what He has promised us, what He's told us in His Word, then we can have the kind of hope that we see that just resonates through the Bible. In fact, we talked about that hope Wednesday night, didn't we? Romans chapter 8. We're actually saved by hope. And notice he doesn't stop there. Yes, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. But notice verse 8. And here's where you get into a whole sermon if you wanted to. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. We all know that picture, don't we? Have you ever seen a tree that comes up besides a stream or a river or something like that where the nutrients from the river or the stream are constantly at its roots? You can't stop the growth of that tree. It's like it just takes off. And here, Jeremiah is trying to get us to picture that. We put our faith and trust in God. Our hope is God. He shall be, that kind of man, shall be like a tree planted by the waters. We're going to flourish. We're going to grow. We're going to become strong. We'll not fear when the heat comes. You see, that tree, when it has that constant source of water, when it has that constant source of nutrients being fed through the root system and up into the branches and right to the leaves,
A heat wave won't bother that kind of tree. Why? Because it's being fed. Well, folks, when we allow ourselves to put our faith and trust in God, we're going to allow ourselves to be fed by His Word. And we're not going to have to worry about that drought that comes whenever difficulties come in our life. Number two, but its leaves will be green. Productivity. And it will not be anxious in the year of drought. No worries. Why? Because we have made God our trust. We've made His Word our direction. Nor will that person cease from yielding fruit. And of course, that's what we're supposed to do. We as God's people have a responsibility to produce fruit. We have a responsibility to get the gospel message out, to involve ourselves in works of the church, and on that list could go. What a great picture that is. Proverbs chapter 12, if you want to back up real quickly, back into the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19, then again in verse 22. The inspired writer says that truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. That goes back to putting our faith and trust in God and our truth residing in His Word. Verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Folks, God wants us to live a life that is based upon truth. It's based upon His Word. It's based upon integrity and honesty as we live our lives. And one of the scariest things you'll ever see anywhere when you start talking about truth and so on and so forth comes to us in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, isn't it? All liars, what? Shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, God hates things that are an abomination to Him. And these things are a lying tongue, a false witness who speak evil. Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. To live God's way means that we're going to be people who will shun the evil. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Folks, there is truth and much truth to it that when we choose the wrong people, it will corrupt us. Proverbs, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Evil companionship, evil company corrupts good morals, good habits. Proverbs 24, verses 22, 24 through 25. Here Solomon says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious or hot-tempered man do not go, lest you learn his way and set a snare for your soul. In other words, choosing the right company is important in God's eyes. How about this? How about that pure heart? God wants us to have a pure heart, and living God's way means that we're going to strive toward that. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20 says that deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. Talked about just a moment ago, the idea we're supposed to shun that which is evil, stay away from that. How about Job? Job chapter 1 and verse 1. Job is described as a man who, quote, feared God and shunned evil. The King James renders the word eschewed evil. In other words, you stay away from it. You push yourself from it. Folks, God sees those who are compassionate, loving, tender-hearted, and courteous as the ones who will what? Turn away from evil and go to the good. 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 11. Over and over. This just really touches the hem of the garment when you stop and think about it. What it means to live God's way. God has given us the prescription for every sin, for every error, everything that plagues us. He's given us in His Word the roadmap, if you will, that will direct us in how to live our life. What we have to do is pick it up and study it. What we have to do is learn from God's Word. What we need to do is respect what God has said. And then with all of our heart, with all of our might, trust in God, don't lean upon ourselves, and follow after Him in all that He says. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, we ask a simple question, why not tonight? Why not tonight? If you know what you need to do to be saved, and you're ready to put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, you're ready to rise up and walk in newness of life, a new creation in Christ Jesus, you won't find a better time than tonight to do that. Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God. Need the prayers of the church. Maybe that's all it really boils down to be a stronger Christian, more faithful Christian, somebody who really wants to be a person who is living as God would have us to live. You just need the prayers. We stand ready to assist you on that. Maybe you're in a situation where maybe you're a child of God and you strayed away and you need to come back to God. Again, you won't find a better time than right now. But whatever your need may be, if we can help, won't you come as we stand and sing this song?